Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. As a kid, you probably played Exquisite Corpse. Just to refresh your memory, you fold a paper in thirds. One person draws head down to the neck. Without looking, someone else draws neck to waist, and another draws the rest. Then the paper is unfolded, and you check out whatever Frankenstein body you've created. What you may not know is that you are playing a game devised by artist André Breton in the 1920s, at the height of the Surrealist movement. It's just one of the many games the Surrealists played, and you can too at 3S Artspace in Portsmouth this month. Leading the games, Roger Miller. He's founder of the influential punk band Mission of Burma and of the Alloy Orchestra, an experimental ensemble that provides live scores to silent films. Virginia spoke with him about his affection for Surrealist games earlier this year.
Well, we called this game Exquisite Corpse. Other people said that they played Exquisite Corpse with words. Now, where did this all come from?
When the Surrealists started becoming active in the early 20s, they were, one of their main goals was to resolve the previously contradictory conditions of dream and reality. So to that end, they did a lot of games that were designed to bring things together that didn't necessarily fit together correctly, which is how dreams function a lot. A very famous sentence by the patron saint of Surrealism, the Comte de La Tremont, or his real name was Isidore Lucien de Casse, sums it up. The chance meeting on a dissecting table of a sewing machine and an umbrella. Now that sentence combines three elements that do not belong together. Dissecting table, sewing machine, umbrella. But when you put them together, at least my mind immediately conjures up an image and you start making associations, which the human mind will do. The human mind will create meaning out of these things, and that is very much a dreamlike meaning.
So these Surrealists actually got together, you know, I'm thinking Breton and Magritte, you know, sitting around and playing these kind of crazy disassociative games?
Yes, they did. If you have any books on Surrealism, you'll see a lot of these Exquisite Corpse drawings, primarily the drawings, because once Surrealism became less of a goal of poetry and more of a visual goal, which is what most of us know it as, then the drawing games became more important. And I've seen them with, you know, Man Ray, Duchamp, Max Ernst, you know, Breton, Tanguy, all my favorite guys, you know, playing together, and some of my favorite gals as well.
So what are some of the other games that Surrealists played?
Well, there's that drawing game, the Exquisite Corpse, and I encourage people to not necessarily treat it just as, you know, a head, a torso, and a leg, but the legs could be a tree, the torso could be, you know, planets in outer space. This increases the dreamlike quality. There's quite a few word games. The very first game that the Surrealists created, which generated the phrase Exquisite Corpse, is that they would take a sentence, break it down to adjective, noun, adverb, verb, adjective, noun. And the first person would write an adjective, fold the paper back. The next person would write a noun, fold the paper back, until you've got the six words and you have a sentence. And the very first sentence that they created this way was, "The exquisite corpse shall drink the new wine." And that's where the phrase "the exquisite corpse" comes from.
So you're going to be the master of ceremonies for this game playing at 3S Art Space. What is your role in all of this?
I have a PowerPoint that is explaining the games and projecting them on a screen the entire time. But also on the table, there are the rules to the various games. And my job is to go around and explain a new game when people want a new game.
So that's so funny to me that Surrealists had rules.
Well, you have to have rules. There's a very famous, one of my favorite I Ching hexagrams is called limitation, because without some sort of limitation, the world is infinite and it just explodes. You know, you need something to contain a situation. And so these rules contain a situation and then allow that dreamlike activity to happen.
So have you ever been the master of ceremonies with a live group like this before?
Oh, yeah. I've done it at the ICA in Boston, Mass MoCA, Real Art Ways. And I've done it with my friends, you know, not infinite amount of times, but hundreds, let's just say.
So how does it work with a big group?
It's great. What the situation is always set up so that there are many tables, and the ideal amount of people per table is between 3 and 6. And these people get together usually just by chance. It's a nice chance operation from the very beginning. You know, a couple will come, they'll sit in a table, 2 other people will come, I'll say, why don't you sit down over there? And they've never met each other before, and then they start playing the games. What really I find so beautiful about this is that I have come across people, and I, you know, they've been sitting at tables, like, oh, you guys must know each other, you know, you guys are look like your friends. And they said, oh, no, we just met each other 50 minutes ago.
It's so interesting. I mean, this is something we used to play as kids, right? Mm-hmm. And why do we stop? I love this idea that surrealists continue with this kind of silliness. I mean, it's not something that you don't hear of abstract expressionist games, do you? What did the surrealists mean to you, and why do they play?
I mean, there's something about surrealism that it sometimes gets knocked by some serious artists. They don't take it surrealism as serious as I do. What I like about surrealism is it's not one thing that's really important about it. It's not a style. It's an attitude. You know, if you look at 2 different surrealist artwork, they look completely different, or the writers. What I find so appealing about these games is that anybody can play. I've had people walk in and say, well, you know, I don't know how to draw. And I go, it doesn't matter. Because if you have 3 people at a table and one person is a great artist and wants to prove they're a great artist, if they draw a head, you know, the upper part of a drawing that's excellently executed, but if it doesn't attach in an intuitive way to the middle part, then the drawing is not important. So it's not about the individual, it's about the collective. And that's what makes these games, to me, so amazing.
How do people respond to you doing this, though? I mean, you still tour with Mission of Burma. This is a band that so many have cited as influential to them. Nirvana, The Pixies, R.E.M., Sonic Youth. So, I don't know, it may be kind of surreal that you host these kind of things, right?
I've had some friends make some funny comments. It's like I'm a psychedelic Dick Cavett. That's one way it was described by some people that are more my age. When I'm doing the Surrealist Games, my job is to be the Surrealist Games host. And if someone wants to talk to me about Mission of Burma, that's fine. But I'm there to be the Surrealist Games host and facilitate everybody to have this experience of, even if they don't think they're creative, that they will create something. And when they open up the paper at the end of the games, the word games or the drawing games, everybody, I guarantee, will be just like, you know, laughing. And sometimes these things are not just funny, they actually have a sense of profundity.
Roger Miller is a founder of the influential punk band Mission of Burma and Alloy Orchestra. He's leading an evening of surrealist games at 3S Artspace in Portsmouth this month. You'll find more information at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And of course, there will be a soundtrack. Here's a sample of some of the artists Roger plans to play.
Thank you.
That's just a sample of music chosen by Roger Miller, musician, artist, and MC of an evening of surrealist games at 3S Artspace later this month. For more, visit wordofmouthradio.org.